Mercedes-Benz Classic Podcast.
Welcome to the first episode of the Mercedes-Benz Classic Podcast. My name is Rüdiger Abel and I'm your host today. Do you still remember mid of March 2020? The Formula One was about to start in Melbourne in Australia. Then COVID-19 spread across the world and the race plus other races were cancelled. But last weekend the season 2020 finally began in Spielberg in Austria and brought Valtteri Bottas and the Mercedes-AMG Formula One team the first victory. Already shortly before that race, we talked to Bernd Mailänder, driver of the official FIA Formula One safety car. And of course we couldn't know by then that Bernd had quite a lot to do in Spielberg. He is behind the wheel of the safety car since the year 2000, so this is his 21st season in that position. Before he was racing for Mercedes-Benz as a professional driver, for instance in the DTM. So here he is, Bernd Mailänder. Bernd, how do you feel to get into the safety car again after such a long break?
I've been already driving around the circuit. This was Australia when we tried to start the regular season of 2020. So I did my test laps already on Tuesday afternoon in Melbourne. And then on Friday morning, we had to cancel the whole Formula One event. Right now, we had a break until Spielberg on the 5th of July. So personally, I'm really looking forward to see my colleagues, the whole Formula One family, because we never had a situation like that.
And in which safety car do you jump in Spielberg? Which car do you drive at present?
In present, we're driving since two years, it's already the third season, with the AMG GTR. It's a standard GTR product from AMG. We have the safety car lights on top of the car. We have some special technic things inside, like radio system, TV systems, time looping, GPS systems. But the basic of the car, it's an absolutely standard AMG GTR. Absolutely phenomenal for a road car to make this job in the safety car in the Formula One world.
Mm-hmm. We are right in the topic. What are the FIA specifications for a safety car?
Since I'm driving the safety car since that's my 21st season, so after 20 years, I can say the specifications was we want to do a 1 hour proper track test, so driving on the limit, and that's quite difficult for a road car. So we started in beginning of the 2000 years with cooling system for the brakes, things like that. And right now with the GTR product, we can use our sportiest cars from AMG driving on the limit for 1 hour. For sure, we're switching cars once because we have always two safety cars at the racetrack. I don't want to say it's a backup car, but it's car number one and car number two. We need this because we're also supporting the Formula 3, Formula 2, and the Porsche Super Cup Championships. The handling is much easier if you have two same cars at the racetrack. I have two mechanics from AMG. If something happens, if you have changed tires, brakes, things like that, but usually we don't have to make many things or changes on the things during the weekend. Mm-hmm.
So have you been involved in the development of the first safety cars when you said that they were modified a bit?
Yeah, well, with the first ones until 2009, because in 2009, AMG developed the first real sports car in my kind of view with the SLS. Before, yes, for sure, I was involved in all the cars. At that time, they had a big engine, I would say, with a lot of power and a quite comfortable suspension, or the handling was not developed for a proper racetrack, I would say. It was always a very sporting car, but we have to make a lot of extra things to have the right configurations and the right things for a proper safety car. It was a fantastic time because you was really working on the cars with the setup, with the cooling systems, with nearly with everything. And right now we have a regular sports car from the production. So the customers, they can buy exactly the same car for the road. And that's a great feeling, because if you see what's happened in 20 years and 20 years in motor racing, it's not that much, mm-hmm. but the development was really unbelievable especially the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. I have a list here of all the safety cars since 2000. It is a very impressive lineup of sports cars. You started with a CL55 AMG
And then we had SL55, CLK55, SLK55, CLK63, SL63, and then the SLS AMG you just mentioned, and the AMG GTS and the GTR. What cars do you remember best? And do you have a favorite of this lineup?
To all cars, there are big stories, especially on the CL55. I remember when I did my first race in Australia in 2000. It's a big car, 367 horsepower, I remember. It was a regular engine. On the spare car, it was quite funny. We had always two cars with us at the racetrack. At the spare cars, we had still the regular seats inside. So it was very comfortable. You could switch the cooling system on. In your own hands, you had a radio. So it was not a proper radio inside. And it was very comfortable. And it was with the ABC system. Yeah. And we had a special brake system inside. So it was a lot to think about during your driving around a racetrack. Touching the curbs was not that easy because it was a heavy, big car, but a great one. So that was what I exactly remember when I did my first laps in Australia. For me, the biggest step was 2006, 2007, when we had the CLK63, because this was the first engine, the M156 engine. At that time, maybe we had a special engine inside, so it was not a regular horsepower, I remember. I remember Mr. Tobias Moers at that time. He was with us during the test, and he said, "Wow, this is unbelievable sound." And I've been racing before in DTM, things like that. And power-wise, we had more power in the safety car than in a proper DTM car. And that was a really, the CLK-60 was a beast, but a great one. I remember this because I did in Fuji 2007, I did more than 30 laps in front of the Formula One car. It was raining like hell. And it was a really, really tough laps. And I was nearly running out of fuel in the end. Because there's a limit for sure. And then 2009 or 2010, when we get the SLS, that was a new challenge. Front middle engine, transaxle system. So that was, I would say, a huge big step from the old cars to proper sports car with completely different setups, dynamics, aerodynamics. Mm-hmm. It was a big, big step in the direction to race car, I would say. And also from the GTS to the GTR, it's a huge, big step. Mm-hmm. So looking forward, what is the next one?
Yeah, you are the official safety car driver since 2000. Now, looking back at these 20 years, how did you become the driver of the official FIA Formula One safety car?
Yeah, it was a nice story. So in 99, I've been not racing for Mercedes in Le Mans because we did the 99 only Le Mans with Mercedes, and I decide to do a lot of other races. So in that case, I joined the Grand Prix of San Marino in a Porsche Super Cup team, and I get a phone call. I've been on pole position. I get a phone call on a Friday afternoon with a British number on. I just saw +44. And I said, "Ooh, I don't know really English numbers." So I just picked up and said hello. And then said my boss in future, "Yeah, hello, here's Charlie Whiting." And Charlie Whiting was the race director of Formula One. And he said, "Bernd, can you come to my office?" And I said, "Oh, maybe something is wrong with my cup car." And I said, "Yeah, okay, yeah, I will come, but I can't enter the Formula One paddock because I just a support paddock ticket." So he picked me up and we went to his office and he said, "Bernd, we're looking for a new safety car driver in the future. In the moment, for this weekend, we're looking for Formula 3000 safety car driver. It's the same regulations, the same car. And it's a really good learning procedure." And he said, "Bernd, can you drive the safety car from tomorrow onwards?" And I said, "Okay, yeah, so I will do that." I didn't ask for money, if this is a proper job or if I asked nothing. I was just happy to drive also at that time a CLK55, that was the Formula One safety car in 99. The reason for that was because the safety car driver in Formula One and Formula 3000 before was Oliver Gavin, and he was racing in Formula 3000. So they looked for a spare driver and they said, "Okay, Bernd, he knows the products. He was racing for Mercedes. He knows everything about Formula One as well. He's a good guy from the Super Cup Championship. So let's talk to him." And that was my entry to join the FIA in 99. Mm-hmm. And then from 2000 onwards, I was behind the steering wheel also in Formula One.
Mm-hmm. Mercedes provides the safety car since 1996. What does it mean for you to be part of that history?
It's unbelievable. If you think about the official safety car, I think it was used in 1991. Since 91 is a, if I'm right, I'm not 100% sure, but since 91, there's a rule that it must be an official safety car for Formula One weekend. And there was a lot of different car manufacturers, beginning with products like, let's say in Imola in Italy, maybe they used, I think they used a Fiat or a Ferrari, and in France, they used a Renault type. Whatever cars they used, it was always different. The FIA decided to be on a really, really high level, and then they decided to have a permanent partner. Luckily, Bernie Ecclestone decided to go to Mercedes. I know something from the deal in 96 in Monaco, because Sid Watkins, the race director of that time, he stopped with a Renault, yeah, I can say that, with a Renault in front of the casino with a technical issue. So Sid Watkins went to Bernie Ecclestone and said, I want to have a real good medical car and safety car in our garage. And Bernie went to Norbert Haug and asked Norbert Haug, do you think we can make a deal about that? I was the unlucky person because I was racing in ITC in 96, living close to Fellbach and to Stuttgart. And so I get a phone call from Mr. Haug, and Mr. Haug decided to use my factory car, what was a C36 at that time. 3,000 kilometers, so top-shaped, brand-new car. I have to leave my car here in Fellbach. That was the first official car in Magny-Cours 96 for the French Grand Prix. And I had, at that time, I get switched from a silver, nice C36 to an E320 in green. So that was a huge big step in my age at that time.
That's a good story, yes. The first race you took part as a safety car driver was the Grand Prix in Melbourne. How do you remember the race best?
Well, I remember exactly. I was quite nervous. Melbourne, it's Australia Grand Prix. It's quite nice because it's for the safety car. A little bit different because we're doing only, the FIA is only supporting Formula One. So it's, let's say it's a quiet weekend. I do not do the support races because they're doing this by the ASN, by the local partners. And Formula One gets the safety car in a very luxury way, more or less. So I had only Formula One in 2000 to do. But I was very nervous. So I remember exactly the time scheduled to be, bring the car on the grid on the right time, to leave the grid on the right time, to go in your position. Still nearly the same rules than right now. The really good thing is I could feel that my heart pressure was really high than, let's say, like nearly when I'm behind the steering wheel in a race car. So for me, it's still today, it's the same thing, and I'm still nervous if I'm going on the grid. And that's good. I think you need this really, because you need blood pressure. You need, yeah, and your adrenaline has to get a little bit higher, because without that, I think an actor cannot go on a stage. You're not focused enough. And for this job, you have to be really focused and you need the pressure. And that's why I'm still nervous and why I still love to do this job, because it's a part of my DNA.
And on race day, when are you in the car in the morning? And could you describe a race day out of your perspective?
Well, let's talk about a Sunday, because usually the Sunday, I think it's the easiest thing to explain it in a proper way. So on a European normal regular race Sunday, I've been on the track around about 7:30 in the morning. We have our track test, but it's usually just run about 15 minutes. So we do a couple of laps checking the systems and that's it. But for me, it's always a good warm up. That will be about 8 o'clock. After that, we have a small internal meeting, and I'm already in the overall. So jumping into the car, driving the car on the grid for the Formula 3 race. So it's usually same procedure than in Formula 1, with the grid procedure, parking places procedure, with a different co-driver. So usually always someone from Formula 3, from Formula 2, and Formula 1, it's one of my colleagues. It's a minute-by-minute plan from the morning when the first start race until Formula 1 ends. You know exactly what you have to do. You have your limited breaks with 5 to 10 minutes. You're always in the overall from the morning until race finished, or yeah, race finished by Formula 1. You have a small break during the driver parade procedure, what is always around about 12:30. No, sorry, 1:30, because now we have the regular starter at 1500 in the afternoon. the pressure gets higher and higher because you start in the morning. It's more or less quiet. There are not that many fans on the grandstands. And then from race to race, the fans are coming up. So let's say from the driver's parade onwards, you have full house. That gives you a pressure. You have to be focused. And in the small breaks, you drink something, water, quick coffee, something like this. Or in the lunch break, you have a small lunch, not to fall asleep in the safety car, because if you eat too heavy things, I think it's not really the best thing to do.
During the race, and if the race runs well, you're waiting most of the time. What do you do during these times? And I understand you are not alone. Is it true?
Right, yeah. I have always a co-driver with me in Formula One. It's my old colleague, Richard Darker. He's responsible for the radio, for the light system. Like I always say, four eyes, four ears. They see and hear more. And my part is to be focused, to be on the right time, on the right place. Speed-wise also, so we get all information from race control, from the race director when we have to deploy from the pit lane. That's the standard parking position during the race, end of the pit lane. So they guide us, and then we're reporting from the track what we can see. Let's say if there's debris, if there's aquaplaning. My co-driver, Richard, he can talk to race control. I can talk to race control. And especially if you get some informations, it's quite important. It's like in an airplane cockpit. So that's also why you have a co-pilot with you. Usually one pilot is enough. But in that case, if you not get, or if you can't understand the right informations, you make mistakes. And with a co-driver, it's much easier. And what you said before, mostly of the time, I'm just sitting in the car by fixed seatbelts with the overall, my helmet is on. We have two nice screens inside, and for sure we're watching the race and waiting if something happens. The good thing is I'm not getting paid by lap. I'm getting paid for the whole weekend. That's an important point. Safety-wise, and that's my job, the best race are without any safety car, so then we know nothing happens. But if something happens, you have to do a 100% job.
And the engine is running all the time?
The engine is running all the time. For safety reasons, so we need a cooling system for the car, for the electricity. We need we need a lot of power for the batteries, for all the communication things inside the car. And believe me, if you sit in a car, not with a running engine for 2 hours in Bahrain or Abu Dhabi, it could be getting really, really hot. So the air conditioning is running when we are in parking position.
And if you go out on the track, how fast do you go? How close are you going at the limit of the car?
Depends to the situation. Let's say if there's just a Formula One car stopped in a dangerous area, they cannot get fixed by the marshal, so they can't push the car away on the real safety conditions. So then for me, it's a quite easy job. If it's the beginning of the race, you will drive very quick from the beginning onwards, because still the Formula One field is together. If it's a big gap between the leading car and the last car, so we have to wait for the last car. We have to punch them together as quick as possible. And that takes sometimes a while. That's also why I get sometimes the information that some drivers say the safety car is too slow. That's exactly in that situation. You have to see the whole situation, not just the car behind you. And it's like if you drive in a traffic, if you are the last car, you're driving quite very quick, still in the traffic. But if you are the car behind the safety car, he's always the slowest, more or less. He's also losing nearly everything. Sporting-wise, I don't like that. But safety-wise, it's the only thing how you can handle this kind of situations. For me, for sure, it makes more fun if I can go nearly flat out, like in a proper race with the safety car. That's what I'm doing. Usually, if everything works, if all the problems are fixed, I'm going nearly 100%. It's not a qualifying lap where you're driving, we should drive 100%. Let's say it's 95 to 96%. So I've still a little bit of, I'm still a little bit under the limit, because I don't know if I'm going around for 3 laps or for 10 laps or for 15 laps. And for sure, with road tires, with that kind of car, you have to find your personal limit to save also the car, because you never know how many laps you have to do.
When you are on the track and have the field behind you, do you feel the drivers pushing you?
Depends to which driver is behind me. I had a lot of Formula One drivers behind me. Let's say Nico Rosberg, he was quite nice. to have it in your mirror. You always could see him where he is. He always took attention that he is in the rules, because there's also official rule how far you have to, how far you can go from the safety car, how close you can go to the safety cars. Well, it's in the end, it's always a kind of a sport thing. So for sure, Formula One car is so unbelievably quick. He easily could overtake me or whatever, getting closer. They know what they have to do, the Formula One drivers. But it's also, for me, it's easier if I know, if I can see them in the mirrors, what is the distance, so the whole procedure, then I don't have to watch in my mirrors all the time. With some other drivers, you're nearly looking more to your mirrors than in front. Lewis is one of my favorite drivers. In that case, Alonso, he was also always a little bit tricky to find him in the mirror, because he was always moving behind you. He was sometimes so close that I can't see him anymore. And then the next step, he was so far away from, yeah, far away from the safety car. Sebastian Vettel, he gets penalized once, I remember, in Hungary, because he kept a too big distance between the safety car and him. So he got penalized by a drive-through, I remember. But they know exactly what they have to do in the end. And I think it's human. If you make a mistake behind the safety car, if you are not have four car lengths, what is in the rule, if you have 10 car lengths, I think 10 car lengths are 10, 20 meters. It sounds a lot, but not on a racetrack with a speed with 200 kph. Mm-hmm. So we handle this in a very comfortable, nice way. But Lewis, sometimes it's not easy to keep him behind me. But I have the, let's say, I think the GTR is even the proper or more heavier and safer car than himself. So if he hits me, I'm not destroying my car, only his car. So but hopefully nothing will happen. And I know the guys how to handle them.
Do you meet the racing drivers personally during races?
Yeah, for sure. We will meet us always, especially on the drivers meeting on Friday evening. Now, this year will be also a little bit different how we do this with video. But yeah, for sure. I know all the drivers personal. That's race drivers, and all race drivers are somehow same. You have more contact with one of the drivers than with the other ones. But in the end, sitting all together in the same paddock and then we're driving around the same racetrack. And it's a really nice work, I have to say. It's quite good. A lot of communication. For sure, some drivers, they are talking not that much than the other one. But in general, it's a really good team.
Looking back at the 20 years, what were the most dramatic situations you were in with the safety car?
Well, dramatic. If we're talking about safety things, for sure, it was dramatic, all the big accidents what we had in the last 20 years. Or when I was driving the safety car, we had some big accident, and in the end, the drivers get out having nothing. If I remember, with Robert Kubica in Montreal, we thought already that could be a really worst-case scenario, and he get out of the car, he get into the hospital for a couple of hours, and then he was fine. That's exactly the moment where you have to be getting not personal. You have to do just your job and you have to be focused on your job. But that's still quite difficult to handle this. So, yeah, you see this on the TV, what's happened if there's a big crash, if there's a lot of debris. And for sure, these moments, we don't want to see these kind of things. You have to handle it. And Montreal was one of this, Robert Kubica's accident. The accident of Bianchi in Suzuka was one of the big ones. On the rain conditions, it was already a very tricky situation to keep the car on the track, also the safety car. And then, yeah, Fuji was in the rain, 2011, Montreal again, with a lot of rain. I did 46% of the race in front of the Formula One field. We stopped the race for two times. You can't make a mistake because you're driving the safety car, so I can make a mistake behind the steering wheel with aquaplaning, things like that, going off to the gravel. But I'm not fighting for something. I'm not a part of the race. I'm just there to keep my car on the track and to show the Formula One drivers and the other drivers how they have to drive, what is the speed, what we're doing in the moment to save everyone around the track. And that's not just the drivers. That's also all the marshals around the track, that they can do their own job. So that's a lot of things what you have to realize if you are behind the steering wheel in a safety car. You never get a trophy. You never win. Just do your job for that, what you're there. Yeah.
Have there also been some funny situations during the years?
Yeah, Montreal 2011, I nearly got the trophy because I lead more laps than the winner of the race in the end, that was Jenson Button, because he was just leading for one lap. So that's for sure. Yeah, you are joking after the race, you're making jokes about that. There was a lot of nice things, especially with Michael Schumacher in 2001. I think he stopped in the first lap during the Hockenheim Grand Prix with a technical issue with his Ferrari. And I picked him up after the race from a marshal post. The official safety car was called by SL55, and it was a Sunday. On Monday, just the day after, was the official presentation of that car. So it was a world premiere. He was sitting next to me and asking about a car, and then he was waving to his fans in a motodrome. One of our photographers, Wolfgang Wilhelm, he took this camera, did a really nice shot when he was waving out his hands with the red overall to all the fans. And 1 week later, he got world champion. I don't know, was the third or fourth world championship title for him. And so we did advertising 1 week after with the Mercedes and with his red overall. So we congratulate him for this world championship title. And it was a nice moment because he was really asking me, hey, that's a nice car. How does it call? And I said, well, Michael, I can't tell you. It's not official. So the world premiere will be just tomorrow. But I tell you, it's a nice AMG product. Yeah, there are a lot of good nice stories. So I remember when I drove in Bahrain with a historical world championship title with a W196 together with Niki Lauda. That's moments you never will forget. And to driving an old car around the racetrack in front of the new generation, it's always something really on the top. And believe me, all the drivers been watching how quick they've been at that time. And that's what I really love to drive, also historical cars.
So are there more occasions when you drive historical cars apart from the Formula One topic?
It's something completely different. I think if you jump into historical cars, you live in this historical time. It's a lot of mechanical what you have to do, but still the fun, it's maybe even more because you have more room to drive around a corner. So you have more, I want to say more space. Maybe you have less space than now, but you can feel the movement of the cars. And for me, that's real the proper heroes from that time to drive these kind of cars always on the limit. Right now on the modern racetracks, it's for sure something different. You can handle the limit in a different way.
All the safety cars are part of the collection of Mercedes-Benz Classic, but none is part of the permanent exhibition of the Mercedes-Benz Museum. If you could pick, which one would you like to see in the museum? Which of the safety cars?
That's a very, very difficult question. So a very spectacular was the CLK 63, because it was a more or less a prototype. This car never gets on the road in exactly in the same configuration. I think there exist only two cars in the world. Afterwards, we built it, the Black Edition series, but it was a little bit different kind of a version. The basics starts from that car. And yeah, the Galvin cars are always something very special. If you open your door, it's going up with the SLS. And that was for me also a big step because it was the first developed car by the own AMG. Yeah, and I would say my first car, yeah, the CL55. Not styling-wise, but it was the start of my career behind the steering wheel in the Formula One.
The Formula One started late this year because of COVID-19. How did you spend the week since February or March this year?
So I started in a absolutely normal way. So I started with the AMG Driving Academy in north of Sweden. What is, for me personally, it's always in January for 2 weeks, and maybe on February in another week. We've been testing in February with the safety car, what we are normally doing in Nardo. What we did, what was quite nice, because everything works well. And then we had the Formula One test in Barcelona, where I've been a part since last year, testing there some new programs or systems with the safety car and medical car. That was also a normal thing today. And then it came to the regular start of the season in Melbourne. After that, I think it was mid of March 14, something like that. And then we stopped everything. And since then, I was sitting at home. I can't remember when I've been home for 4 months or 3.5 months. So that was really something very, very special and nice, because you've never been so close for such a long period at home. I have twins at home. They are 2.5 years old. So it was great to see them growing, to play with them, to making completely new things what I never did before. But there was also some problems because exactly of that reason, because you're living your regular normal life, traveling around the world, be at home for 5-6 days, travel to the next place, and then it stopped to 100%. So everything gets cancelled, all the events get cancelled. In the beginning, we thought, okay, we will start with the European season in May, and then the start of the European season get cancelled, and no one knows, is there a start in 2020 for Formula One or in motor racing? And I think a lot of people, they thought exactly in the same, especially in the event companies. It's a really tough time. And also for me, it was nice to be home, to do many things at home, to be gardening, to playing with the kids. So I learned a lot. I've painted nearly my whole house by my own. I never did that before. But it was quite nice to learn these kind of things. And now, for sure, for since 4 weeks, we are really focused on the new start. We know it's going on. We have to learn a lot about the new regulations about COVID-19, how we can work in the future to getting back to the new life. I said especially new life because I think it will be never the same than before. And we have to work with that. We have to learn with that. And that's now, so I think everyone is really focused on it, going back to regular work under different conditions. Mm-hmm. We do this without our motorsports fans at the racetrack. And I really hope that we can also going back whenever to see our fans on the grandstands again.
Because of the double race, how long will you be in Spielberg this time?
Right now, so arriving for me, it's Wednesday. Usually it's the 1st of July this year. And staying there for nearly 2 weeks and driving directly from Spielberg to Hungary, where is the third race. So we have 3 races in one row. I'm driving this all by my private company car. What I'm really looking forward to, because I still, you would not believe it, I still have the fuel in my car in the moment when I was driving to the Frankfurt airport at 10th of March. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to for this trip, for the start of the season under these special conditions. But yeah, it's nice to be back in racing. And I'm sure after these 3 weeks, I'm also happy to coming home to see my boys, to see my wife. And then we start with the second part. So it's a learning procedure. And I think it's always good to have something new. But in that case, it's quite tough and we have to learn a lot.
I have one last question. Would you say it's a dream job you have, being safety car driver?
I would say the combination was, I was racing until 2004 in DTM and in the safety car. So that was step by, or weekend by weekend, I did something different. And the combination was, yes, for sure, absolutely a dream job. I think time changes and I still can say I'm doing exactly that what was my dream when I started to be in motorsport. I'm involved in the highest category of racing in Formula One. So the best times are exactly the times when I have my test in the safety car, or I'm sitting in the safety car, I'm driving around in the safety car. No one can tell you how to handle the car because this is your job, and that's exactly the best time, and that's what I'm still enjoying it. And it's a nice family, and the combination with Mercedes, with AMG, with Classic, all these kind of things together with Formula One, it's a dream job, yes.
We hope you enjoyed the first episode of the Mercedes-Benz Classic podcast. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the Formula One, take care everyone, drive safely, and hear you next time.